welcome everyone to iloverealestate.tv. Great to have everybody on board. I am sitting here at the moment with a bunch of mates. They're all my students from the I Love Real Estate community. And I thought, what a great idea to get together and just kind of chew the fat about what's going on and record it and share it with everybody. So I've got some mates here, and I'm going to introduce them as we go around. So I thought I actually might start with Jackie and Carl. Now, I'm sitting here in Adelaide. I've just done a one-day event down here in Adelaide. It was absolutely fantastic. We had, apart from the cold weather, it was... we were talking about what's going on in Adelaide. And as you know, I'm quite keen on what's going on in Adelaide at the moment. But I thought I'd start with Jackie and Carl. Now, there's some people who have been really working on PPR deals. And when you start thinking about doing a PPR deal, one of the great things is that the income that you make from it, provided you're not in the business of trading your PPR, is it's tax-free. Now, that's fantastic because that really gives you some major elevation. So, guys, welcome Carl and Jackie. How are you guys?
Hey.
Really good.
Hi, yeah, guys. Good, thank you.
So tell me, what's the most recent deal that you've done as a PPR deal?
Well, we looked at the market. Obviously, we've been looking at some depressed properties. We found a property that was it was below market value, really. We looked at an area where we could enjoy a lifestyle but also get some gain from the property. So we bought a property at say $465,500, around that figure, and it was in a great spot, but the people there, it had been on the market for 12 months or more, so the people were really looking to sell. And so we moved in and we uplifted it. We've actually just sold that for $640,000.
Wow.
Good going, guys. Very well. Okay, so what's it like living through a renovation?
It's bloody hard work.
Fair enough.
It's not the easiest strategy.
Yeah.
We've learned that from you, Dimpna, right from the very beginning. You said, you know, renos, everybody starts in renos, and yeah, we started in renos and we've still been doing renos, and it is hard work. There are easier strategies. However, for us, in the situation that we've come from,
it was necessary and this worked
for us, and it's allowed us to get to where we are today. And yeah, many easier strategies, but this has been great.
Well, the great thing about the PPR deal is, as I say, it's tax-free.
Absolutely.
I mean, I remember back in the day when I was first starting out, I did a lot of renovations and my kids were only little. I mean, I think they learnt to walk on bearers and joists. I remember a lot of time when the only door that I had to the bathroom was a black plastic sheet hanging down and this sort of thing.
Oh,
wow. We remember showering outside in the summer.
You were
the last one.
And you don't even live in Queensland where it's warm. You're in bloody Adelaide where it's cold.
It was bloody cold. That was the only place we had, because one bathroom, getting renoed and living in it, what do you do? You know, you do what it is that you have to do. And it works.
But that's right. I mean, you know, it's a great place to make tax-free income, like I say. So well done, guys. So what's next for you guys?
Well, we're looking forward to developments.
Okay.
You know, we've done the renos, and we know that's, as you said, it's the hardest strategy out there, and we agree, it is. It takes a long time, especially when it's your PPR. Mm. You know, you have to live in the mess, you have to live in the dust, mm-hmm. everything else, but We're looking at development, you know, where we can actually do more with the land and manufacture deals and make better income. PPRs are great. Mm. Yes.
You might be able to do a construction deal as a PPR.
Absolutely. We had an offer on one just last weekend. We didn't get that one. It went for a crazy price, way above what it should have done. However, we'll keep looking, and that is exactly what we're looking for right now.
Yeah. So on to the next one. Obviously, when you're doing developments of PPR, there's a few tax rules and things and bits and pieces you've got to learn around that. But it can be a great way of getting a tax-free capital gain and still get a brand new property and all of those other things. So well done, guys.
Thank you.
Now, the next person I'd like to introduce you to is Janet. Hey, Janet.
Hello. How are you?
Doing very well. Now, Janet, you've really stepped up and you've really changed as a result of being in the I Love Real Estate community, particularly from a business perspective.
Yes, I have. So my business has completely changed. I had some self-limiting beliefs, shall we say, around what I could do and what I couldn't do. So I'm a coach, business and personal coach, and I love what I do. I really do. The challenge I had is that I was limiting myself because all I could do, or all I thought I could do, was one-to-one coaching, meaning that I'm trading time for money. However, in the last probably 6 months, and it all came about from the Millionaire's Mindset program, yep, when I was talking to Ian and on stage with Kevin and Lisa, and some big thoughts came to me. So I've now changed my business around. So I've now got an online program. So I'm doing coaching one to many. And that launched in April. Mm-hmm. And I'm now ready to launch it to the global population.
Fantastic.
So this for me is going to be my passive income, so I can focus a lot more on the clients, the specific one-on-one clients that I'm going to choose, and I can really focus on property. So I've got a couple of deals going on at the moment, which are in the background while I'm building my business.
Yep.
And once the business is up and running and selling passively, mm-hmm, which hopefully will be by the end of July, then I'll be looking to do my PPR, reno and subdivision. At the moment, I've got a joint venture going on with a builder.
Good.
And that's coming along just nicely. That should come to fruition and all be sorted out by August, September. And that'll be just at the right time when I'm ready to have my business floating along, and I'll be able to then buy my PPR that I can perhaps subdivide and do the PPR reno, which I'm actually excited by. My first reno, we all start in renos, I did too, and I loved it. I actually loved it, but it wasn't a PPR reno, it was a... I didn't have to live through it, but I have lived through it before when I was pregnant and when Phoenix was 8 weeks old, so I know what it's like, and I'm still prepared to do it again. I think it's like pregnancy, you kind of forget how bad it was until you do it again. So that's my, I'm really looking forward to doing that next time, and hopefully having my house by the sea. That's part of my dreams.
Very cool. Let's talk about your son, because you're a solo mum with a son.
I am.
Yeah. And he's a little bit keen on real estate.
He's very keen on real estate, and he does invest in deals that I do. So every time I put a deal together, he invests whatever he's got into the deal. So I remember.
So you do a percentage return. So, like, he's got some savings and whatever, and when you invest in the deal, his $200 or $1,000 or whatever it might be that he's got saved up goes into that deal as a percentage of the total. So you're teaching him maths along the way as to what his percentage is, and you work through the whole deal with him and what the profitability is and the fees owes and all that kind of stuff, and then he gets his share at the other end.
Absolutely. So I remember speaking to you when I first met you, and I said, look, what's a good deal to get kids into? Where can I help him invest? Hmm. And you said, okay, well, maybe involve him in your deal. So that's exactly what I did. So my first reno, I think he had about 1%. He invested 1%. It was only about $2,000 or something he had. And he got $3,000 out from it, and he
Woo-hoo.
Was very happy with that.
So he got his money back.
He got his money back plus $1,000. So he got $3,000 altogether.
Fantastic. So he got 50% return.
He did. So he was very happy with that. So the deal I'm doing now, which is the joint venture, he's invested $6,000 into it.
Very good.
And he should get about $9,500 back out of that. So
nice.
You know, that's helping him understand what he needs to do to build his money up. And he's excited about following the process of the deals as well. So he loves real estate, and he's 15, and he's really looking forward to getting more and more involved in the deals.
So he actually wants to do some more study when he finishes school in the real estate field, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And if he doesn't go to uni, he's going to be doing platinum. So
I'll get him to do some work experience with me. How about that?
That would be absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure he would jump at that chance.
But he better do his homework first. He's at home doing homework at the moment.
Yeah, he wasn't allowed out.
So, okay, so you invest with him. Now, I've had a number of experiences with kids over the years and some of the things that, you know, students have done. And another way of getting kids involved is to get them educated so that they know what they're looking for, that they know how to do a feasibility, they know what kind of deals you want to buy and things like that, and actually get them out there finding deals for you. I remember years ago I had a student who had an 11-year-old daughter. And she came to one of my one-day intro events where, you know, we did a whole day training and all sorts of things. It was asset protection and all sorts of things. It was a pretty tough day. And she came up to me at the end and I said, "Hey, sweetie, how are you? How old are you?" And she said, "I'm 11. And I said, "Okay, so how did you find the day?" She said, "Well, it was very good, but I've got some question for you. Now, you know what you said about the trust and the company?" And she went on with these really technical questions. So I'm going, whoa, I was totally blown away by this 11-year-old. And I'm talking to the father about her. She's actually finding deals for her father. And for every deal that she finds that he invests in, she gets $1,000. That's a $1,000 spotter's fee. Now, obviously, it's one that he has to invest in. But she came to him and says, "Okay, so how much money have you got now?" She said, "I've got $22. I've got $22,000. And he said, "I don't understand why a bank won't lend me any money. I can make more money than most people out there doing this." Absolute gold, absolutely.
And I've also got Phoenix involved with things like that. So he set up all the alerts on Real Estate Investor and realestate.com, and he gets all the alerts for the properties and the strategies that we're looking for. And then he'll present it to me once he's had a look at it, and then we'll work out whether we take the next step.
Fantastic. That's absolutely great. Now, the next couple that I have here to talk to us this evening is Pam and Phil. Hey, guys, how are you?
Well, good. Well, how thanks. Are you?
Very good. Now, you guys, you've had a very interesting career because, you know, when you first joined I Love Real Estate, particularly you, Phil.
Yeah.
He's looking at me with rather funny hair. You were rather probably, let's say, closed off. Would you say that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Totally, yeah. Very sceptical, very closed off.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So how's that working for you now?
Total change, like seriously. yeah, what can I say? Just total, it's just a total change. I'm just so much happier now and surrounded by positive people is just amazing.
See, that's one of the things, that when you surround yourself with positive, proactive people, everything seems to change. You know, you get the, you start to see things differently. You start to see deals that maybe you hadn't seen before. You start to see a road ahead that, you know, possibly you would never have even looked at before. And I mean, I've watched you, Phil, over the last few years, and the turnaround in you has been absolutely amazing. What's been your background?
Civil construction, mainly anywhere from, I started building roads. I was a project manager when I actually came into the I Love Real Estate community, which Pam set up. She was in her field, you'll get into later. But I still do civil construction every now and then. I drive back for 2 weeks here and there, or whatever needs to be done. Mm-hmm. So it's quite handy. But just a total change.
The turnaround in Phil is absolutely amazing when you see from where he's come from a mindset perspective, and also just the analytical side of deals and all of that kind of thing. So, you know, congratulations. Now, Pam, you're a migrant to Australia, would you say?
Yeah, I definitely would say. Yeah, I arrived about 7 years ago. Yeah.
7 years ago to Australia. Yeah. Okay, so where have you come from?
Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Duh.
Now, one of the things when we talk about new migrants coming to Australia, obviously everything's different. You know, the deals are different, the way you do things different, the tax is different, the asset protection is different, all that sort of stuff. How have you found, I guess, you know, joining the I Love Real Estate community, and what that has meant to the learning curve of what on earth you do in this country?
It is a fantastic community. Just having so many people out there to help you with your questions. So it's probably Sarah and Michael, first of all. They'll probably jump in to answer you. But if they're not the first ones in, there are plenty of other people who jump in to answer when they're not around to do it. Just wonderful. Any question you have, you put it on there and somebody's going to answer straight away. There's no reason to be at a loss for an answer to your query. Mm. Yeah, it's wonderful.
So you guys have been doing a little bit of developing, as joint ventures. Let's talk about joint ventures, because obviously when you do a joint venture with someone else, it's important to have the relationship. It's important to have the trust, but it's also important to know yourself, what the process is of the deal and what kind of, you know, what kind of questions to ask and to really be able to analyse the deal yourself. How have you found that whole joint venture process? Who's going to answer?
I'll let Pam answer that one.
Yeah, I'll probably answer it. Phil kind of leaves a lot of that stuff to me, I'm afraid. No, I'm not afraid. I'm happy because that's where I want to be anyway. So, you're right, Imna. I kind of sat on the sidelines for quite a while trying to find the right joint venture partner for me. For me, and probably for a lot of people, it's about absolutely trusting the person that you're going to invest your money with, because I'm the money partner, the other person is the project manager partner. And it was absolutely about making sure that I could trust who it was that's going to do the work, that we had the right connection, that I knew that this person was going to be able to answer any questions that I had. And then also I needed to do my own homework to make sure the numbers stacked up, to know that I understood how the project should fit together and if their answers fitted with my answers, at least pretty closely, then we were a good match. We were thinking along the same lines. And I'm really happy to say that it's been a wonderful partnership so far. Thank you, Shay. So good to work with this particular person. You know, I feel totally comfortable leaving my money in those hands. Yeah.
So tell me, what's the deal you've got going at the moment? What are you actually developing?
So I have put money down as a deposit on a commercial property. It's a very small commercial property, but it's on the edge of residential and it's a mixed-use zone. And what we're going to do is knock the commercial and build four townhouses in place. And it's just gone into council this week as a DA application. Mm-hmm. And fingers crossed, council is going to love our beautiful design. And it's in a growth suburb in Melbourne. It's going on a up to the right trajectory, which is the one you want. So we should do pretty well out of this. I'm hoping to close on double my money on it.
Good.
Which will be very nice. Thank you. And Shay, of course, obviously gets his cut as well as a project manager. Mm. So we'll both do very well and it's a win-win.
Fantastic. So everyone's got deals going on. So what I thought what might be interesting on this podcast, since I've got the lot of you here together, we've just had a couple of wines, so you'll have to excuse us, guys. But I thought it might be interesting to open the floor to you guys to maybe ask me a question that that might really benefit the broader community out there. So you know, obviously you guys have had a lot of training and all of those things, so don't ask me anything too technical, because I have had two glasses of wine. And apart from that, it might be above a lot of, you know, where people are at from a learning perspective. But, you know, think back. When you guys were starting, when you were first getting out there, what were some of the burning issues that you wanted answers to, or, you know, you needed to get over in order to be able to take action and make money in real estate and all of those things? So who wants to start? Pam wants to start.
So I can ask a very quick question, Dipna. So I can remember going to the first boot camp and talking with you, and you asked for questions from the audience, and people were very reticent about standing up, and I was the second person to stand up, and I said, look, I've got some money, but I have no serviceability. What in God's name can I do? And you gave me a prescriptive list. You said you can do commercial and you can do USA, and there was possibly something else.
Joint ventures.
Mm. So I'm doing a joint venture. I did look into the USA thing, but for me, it just didn't work, I'm afraid. It's not to say I would still quite happily go back to doing USA. And commercial is absolutely on my list also. What I'm trying to do is build up my super fund so that I can do a commercial deal.
Fantastic. So what's the question?
Oh, my gosh. My question was, what can I do? And I answered it for you. Thank you.
So if you're starting off with no money, you were starting off with money, but you had no serviceability.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things you can do. And commercials, obviously, on that card. So let's talk about that, because that's probably the way you're going to head. And, you know, with commercial, the thing is that they look very, very closely at the deal itself and the income that's being produced from the deal. So it's less important on what you earn or anything else. It's more important on the deal itself And if the deal itself can sustain itself, it really doesn't matter what income you have or not. You can have no income at all, provided you've got the equity to go into it. And that can be a really good thing to do. I do a US program, and really that's about just straight out investing. They don't care what income you've got. They're looking at a non-recourse loan, which means that the only thing that they take recourse on is the property itself, and it's all about the yield on that property. So really the US stuff, you know, for by and large operates when they're selling it to an Australian who they fondly call a foreign alien, which is just fabulous. They fondly call us Australian foreign aliens, and the lending on that is very much on the deal itself. It really takes no impact on what you earn back in Australia, because they have no way of verifying or going back to recall any income from Australia or any of those other things. So it's just purely on the asset itself. And then, of course, the other thing is going into joint ventures where you have somebody else comes on with a serviceability who's got a great income, all of that kind of stuff. You're putting in the cash and you do a joint venture together and work out a split of the profit, etc. So that's a pretty easy one for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's working.
Absolutely brilliantly. No complaints.
Has anyone else got a question they'd like to ask me? Yes, Carl.
Well, just a question that came up for us, and I think this might be useful for other people that might be looking at joint ventures. And one of the questions that we needed to be addressed, I guess, was what security do you have in a joint venture partnership?
That's a good one. Well, obviously, when you enter into joint venture partnerships, I think it's very important to form the relationship first, so you know who you're getting into bed with, basically. There are legal contracts that need to be done. You need to do joint venture agreements. I don't care if you're even getting into bed, so to speak, with a relative, you know, where you're going into joint venture and it might be your sister, it might be a parent even. But you really need to make sure that everything's nutted out first. So you do up your joint venture agreement, you do up what happens if. What happens if we run out of money? What happens if one person goes broke? What happens if we don't sell? What happens if we have a disagreement? What happens if? All of these things. And you write all of that down. And when you've got all that written down, you agree on everything and then you sign it off at the bottom, and then you take it to a lawyer who'll probably add 1,000 more things to what happens if.
Yep.
And a formal joint venture agreement is put into place. So even if you're doing it with family, I think it is very, very important to make sure you've got the legal documentation in place and that it is signed. I've seen so many disputed situations where even in families, you know, the agreement might have been drawn up, but it wasn't signed. And when things go wrong, that, you know, you've got to have that agreement to go, well, these are the rules that we agreed to. So this is how it's going to play out. Because otherwise it becomes, well, I thought you meant this, and no, I thought I meant that, and whatever else, and becomes a he said, she said scenario. So joint venture agreements is absolutely paramount. On top of that, relationships obviously are very important. But then also, I think you need to look at the strengths of each party. So if you're coming in with equity, you need somebody that's coming in with either serviceability, if you haven't got it, or knowledge, who's really got the background knowledge to be able to back up and do the deal all the way through to the end. If you're coming in with, if you're coming in as the worker, that's fine. You've got to present your knowledge, and then you've got to say, well, do I need money and we can do the servicing, or do I need someone who's got money and serviceability? So there's a number of components to any joint venture agreement. And one is the money, one is the serviceability, and one is the ability to be able to do the deal. And I guess there's a fourth one, which is the person who finds the deal. Now, all of those people need to be compensated, and obviously whoever, some of those parties could be the same person. I get asked a question all the time with joint ventures, and what's an appropriate split? Well, there is no answer to that. You know, it's whatever two parties agree on, and really it depends on the proportionate amount that everyone's putting in from a management perspective, from a money perspective, serviceability, all of these things, you know, they really matter with respect to how the deal comes together. But if two parties agree, they sign their joint venture agreements, communication is also key, making sure that all through the deal, communication is paramount. And, you know, whether it's a good news story or a bad news story. Communication must be there, and making sure that, okay, we're in this together, you know, we're going to do this together, and even if it's a bad news story, okay, this has happened, it's unforeseen or whatever, how are we going to deal with it? And it's very, very important to make sure that, you know, all those things are covered off on.
Awesome. Great answer.
Very good. Yeah. Who else has got a question for me?
Thanks.
I have a question.
You've got a question for me, Janet. We're going around the table here.
Just thinking back to when I first did the Ultimate Boot Camp, and I remember going into it thinking, I have no idea what I'm going to be able to do. I have no money. I have no serviceability. I've got debt. Where do I start? And I came out...
Were you in victim mode?
I was. Tremendously. As you know.
But you're not anymore.
No, absolutely not. So I came out of there with all of these strategies going through my head. So we talked about so many things in the Ultimate Boot Camp that I then thought, where do I start? I've got so many options. Mm. So my question is, what extra resources are there out there, whether that be people or tools, when you then leave the boot camp and you go home and you've got no one else there to talk to necessarily, you've met all these great people and you've got all these great strategies, what support and resources do you have next?
Mm. Very good question. And this is something that I've tried to address over the last 10, 15 years, because as an accountant, you know, I've been on the support side of things for a long time. So when you do go to a boot camp and you learn all of these things and you're all confused about what strategy do I do, I like this, I like that, and you're jumping around all over the place, it's very important to settle down on a strategy that's going to work for you. Now, the first thing is that you need to do yourself before you rely on anybody else, is you need to work out what you want. And you know, I say this all the time, it's one of the hardest things to do. Everyone thinks it's the easiest thing to do, but it's actually the hardest, because knowing what you want means that you are putting your heart, your soul, your money, your time, your energy, your everything into creating whatever that is. So when you put what I call a peg in the sand, you know, it's got to be a heartfelt commitment to make that happen. So deciding, and I find this is one of the easiest way to work out what you want, is okay, let's go 3 years down the track. What does my life look like in 3 years' time? What do I want it to look like? How do I spend my time? You know, how do I spend my day? How do I earn my money? Where do I live? Who do I live with? You know, all of these questions come up. And when you can articulate what that is, you've got a very fixed focal point of what you're trying to achieve. Once you've got that, then you go, how much money do I need to make that happen for whatever that is? You know, what kind of income would I need to live that kind of lifestyle? What kind of assets would I need to live that kind of lifestyle? So now you've got a concrete financial pot of gold out there that's what you're shooting for. So then you go, all right, now we've got a fixed position because we started with that. That's where you're at financially now. We've got a peg in the sand as to where we're heading for. Now you need help of how to get from there to there. And one of the first things that I recommend is going to see your financial strategist. Now, your strategist is, you know, they will look at everything. They'll look at your loans. They'll look at your insurances. They'll look at your wills. They'll look at whether you're cross-securitized. They'll look at, you know, what structures you've got or you haven't got. Now, whilst they can't fix everything, they'll give you a complete list of, you know, this is what you've got to go and fix. This is what you've got to, you know, work out. And that'll be some work. And that might even take you months to work through that list of getting yourself to a point where you're actually market ready. The other thing that they will do is they'll talk about the type of deal that you need to do next and the way you need to do it. So depending on your circumstance, you know, you might be doing no money down deals. You might be doing joint ventures. You might be, you know, you might be doing deals on your own. You might need to do a chunk deal. You might need to do a cash flow deal because you're low in serviceability. They'll talk through all of that kind of stuff with you. Now, whilst they won't sell you a property, they'll go through all of those things and they'll identify where your weaknesses are as an applicant and what you need to do to strengthen them. Now, you need to listen to that. Some people don't want to listen because for some people, for instance, they might be in situations where they've gone out and bought properties that might be negatively geared and they're ho-hum properties and they're not doing anything, but they bought them and they don't want to sell them and all of these things. They've got emotional attachment when in reality, in the situation they've in, they've invested themselves into a corner and they may not be able to move forward from their current position. So it might require a sale. I was talking to somebody today that had something like 10 properties, all negatively geared. And 2 years ago, they've been with me, 2 years ago, they'd come to me and I said, well, you need to sell something. You know, you're too heavily negatively geared. You need to get rid of some what I call a sacrificial lamb or two of them in order to be able to free up, to be able to refocus what you've got. Now, some of them can be turned into negative, but some of them simply can't because of what they bought. So, you know, sometimes you have to face those hard realities and it's not easy to take. And when the strategist says that kind of stuff to you, you've got to take it on board and really think through those things. Because I'll go to another student who a number of years ago, they came to me and they, you know, the strategist had said, well, you need to sell this property and you could possibly sell that property because they were ho-hum properties that weren't doing anything for them and they were a little bit low on serviceability to be able to move forward. So she decided to take that action. She sold two properties and then I saw her a year later and she had replaced them with four properties, all positive cash flow. She's replaced something like $60,000 in passive income out of the properties that she'd bought. Whereas the other properties, if she'd hung on to them, she'd still be sitting there in the same position doing the same old thing and not really getting ahead. So the first point of call is your strategist. You also need the structuring people, you need the legal people with you, you need the accounting people with you. And that's one of the great things about the iLove Real Estate Program is that there are so many of those professional people all around you to assist and support you every step of the way. And you should use them, tap into them. They are there to help you. Your coaches are there to help you. Ring them up 5 days a week, business days, whenever you want to talk to them, they are there. So that's all the support group that's there. And I think the people who don't really power ahead are the people who don't use that support group. Would you agree with that?
I'd absolutely agree with that. And I was hoping that was where that was going to go because I learned so much after doing that. My first port of call was my strategist. Andrew is still my go-to person. I ring him about absolutely anything when I've got a decision about my property or my finances. Mm. And I came out of the ultimate boot camp thinking I don't have any money, I don't know where to start. And I know people that have thought, oh, there's no point me going to see him because I can't do anything. Oh, well, I was actually really surprised when I went to see Andrew and he said, you know, this is what you need to do, this is what you can do.
Yep.
And as soon as you start putting those things in place, you're market ready sooner
That's
than
right.
you think you're going to
yeah.
be.
Absolutely.
So, you know, Andrew or your strategist is invaluable.
Yeah.
And of course, with your accountant and everything else, everybody else that goes with it. So until I actually learnt to use that support team, I felt lost.
Yeah.
Because when you come out of the ultimate boot camp, half your family and friends think you've gone nuts. So, you know, you need somebody to back you up and to use the community of the iLove Real Estate Group is fantastic. You absolutely need it right through your journey.
Now, I'm sitting here in Adelaide and you guys meet up on a regular basis, don't you?
We do.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and this is one of the great things about the iLove Real Estate community is having the ability to be able to meet up with like-minded people and share ideas, share goals, keep accountability with each other, share concepts and deals and all of these things. And that's something that in the wide community out there, it's very hard to find people you can actually talk to where you can ask the question, how much money did you make on that? Mm-hmm. You know, that's such a taboo subject.
Yeah.
Whereas it's integral to a business model. You need to know that stuff.
You do.
And that's not a taboo subject in the iLove Real Estate community. It's expected.
That's right.
And if you don't ask, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking money and percentages and
Absolutely.
And it's okay.
And it's okay. That's exactly right.
It's not
so
a competition
we absolutely.
Either.
It's not a competition. Life is not a competition. It's very much about helping your mates out.
Yeah. And we do share that information on a regular basis. Mm. I know Pam and I, we're accountability buddies. We meet every week and we're talking about what we're doing.
Fantastic.
The groups meet once a month, different groups. You know, we meet in between sometimes as well. And it is vital to get that boost of property, really.
Yeah.
Boost of motivation.
He wanted his Dimpner injection.
You wanted your Dimpner injection, did you?
I needed a Dimpner injection. I got it today.
Too funny. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on and having a bit of a chat here with everybody. I hope it's helped everyone out there to listen in and really feel the mateship of the community. I mean, Adelaide is amazing. Adelaide is exceptional with the group that's down here and the students and how they really support each other. other, and it's absolutely fantastic. But obviously that's modelled all around Australia as well. So thank you so much to everybody who's participated this evening.
Thank you.
And goodbye to everybody. And look, if you're finding this stuff is useful, make sure you tell all your mates about it. You know, they're free. Jump on iTunes, subscribe to iTunes, get this stuff coming to you all the time. Get on my website, www.iloverealestate.tv. There's lots of free stuff on there for you to get in and enjoy. So thank you, guys, and I shall catch you again next time. Bye for now, and bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.